Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints in Christ at Colossae, who are faithful brothers. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. You have already heard about this hope in the message of truth, the gospel that has come to you. It is bearing fruit and growing all over the world, just as it has among you since the day you heard it and recognized God's grace in the truth. You learn this from Epaphras, our dearly loved fellow slave. He is a faithful servant of the Messiah on your behalf, and he has told us about your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience and joy, giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in him.
Thanks, Nathan. Well, I've got a question for you to start off with. What's the biggest change that's happened in your life? I wonder if anyone here has moved. Maybe you've moved from one part of Sydney or one part of Australia to somewhere else. That's a pretty big change, isn't it? Anyone else got any other big changes that you can think of that might have happened in your life? Yeah.
Almost reaching adulthood.
Almost reaching adulthood. Yes, that's a massive change. Yeah. I'll give you a few. What about this one? This is one that I reckon probably no one thought of, but I actually think this is probably the biggest change that happens in anyone's life when you're born, because you move from being inside your mother's womb to being outside in the air and start breathing. That's a massive change. And it's actually one of the most dangerous moments of your whole life, just when you're born. You didn't think about that, did you? Because you weren't even conscious of it, but that was a massive change. Well, what about this one? First day at school. When you move from being a preschooler to being at school. Or maybe when you start high school and all of a sudden you've got a locker you have to deal with and you go around to, instead of sitting in one classroom with one teacher, there's massive changes, isn't it? There's all those big kids in year 12 that are massive. That's a big change. And a lot of changes happen while you're at school. See those pictures? They're the same kids when they started school and when they finished school in that picture there. Massive changes happen while you're growing up, which is kind of what you were saying. My massive change happened when I was 17. I actually grew up in the country, and I left home when I was 17 and moved to Sydney and started living in a unit in Sydney and started a job and started uni all at the same time when I was 17. That was a massive change in my life. But it wasn't the biggest change. There was an even bigger one that happened to me. And that is when I was in year 11. It's when I first became a Christian. Because although physically, when you become a Christian, you don't change much, but spiritually, everything changes, which changes your whole direction and all your attitudes and motivations and everything in life. And as we open the book of Colossians and start reading it, just as we read that part there before that Nathan read for us, we see here two massive changes that happen. Two massive changes. I had three there, didn't I? There's only two. Two massive changes. And we're going to look at the first one by looking at the end of the passage. If you look down in verse 13, you'll see it there. Paul is writing to the Christians in this city of Colossae, and this is what he says about himself and them. He says, "He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." And there it is on the screen there. And so what he's saying here is that there are two kingdoms in the world, and everybody is part of one of these kingdoms. The big difference between people in the world is not whether you're male or female, or whether you're black or white or rich or poor or young or old. The big difference in the world is whether you are in the domain of darkness or the kingdom of the Son that God loves. The word domain's a bit funny, isn't it? A domain is an area where you are in charge of. That is my domain. That's where I rule over. And so when it says the domain of darkness, it's talking about the realm where darkness rules. Darkness means having no knowledge of God. You're in the dark about God. And it means that you live in the dark, so that you don't live God's way. You just do what seems right to you at the time. In the domain of darkness, there's no relationship with God, no lasting joy, no certain hope, no ultimate peace. This is the domain of darkness, life without God. And that's where everyone is who isn't yet a Christian, in the domain of darkness. But when the Colossians were in the domain of darkness, God did something amazing for them. He transferred them out of the domain of darkness that way and brought them into the kingdom of his Son, the kingdom of Jesus. And the kingdom of his son is where God is known and where you can be in relationship with God and where you can be forgiven for all of the things that you've done wrong and where you can have lasting and true joy and peace and hope. All of these things are there in the kingdom of his Son, life in right relationship with God. Some of you will know the story in the Old Testament. There was a rescue out of one kingdom into another, wasn't there? When the people of Israel were in Egypt, they were slaves and they were badly treated and they were underneath the rule of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. But God rescued them and he brought them out of Egypt and put them in his promised land to live under his law in his kingdom. He transferred them out of darkness into the kingdom of the Old Testament. Well, that was physical. That was a physical thing. But spiritually, this is what God has done for the Colossians and for you if you're a Christian. This is actually the biggest change that's happened in your life and mind. But how does it happen? Well, it happens as someone hears the truth about Jesus. Here's the first couple of verses of Colossians that we read out before, and you can see it here. This is talking, Paul's writing to them, and he says, "You've heard about this hope in the message of truth, the gospel that has come to you." The gospel is the message that Jesus is God's King. The one who had been crucified on the cross, that one, has now been raised from the dead, and he is ruling over everybody and everything. He's God's King. And he's God's King for me and for you. And if you bow the knee to him and give your allegiance to him as King in your life, because he died for you, well, then you'll be forgiven and you'll be transferred into his kingdom and welcomed in. That's the gospel that has come to you. And this gospel hasn't just come to you. It's been going all around the world, he says. It's bearing fruit and growing all over the world, just as it has among you since the day you heard it and recognised God's grace, God's generosity in the truth. And they learnt it from this man called, I call him Epaphras. The video called him Epaphras. You can argue afterwards about what's the right way to call his name. But and he was a man who came to the Colossians and told them about Jesus. And they believed in Jesus. And as they did, God transferred them out of the domain of darkness and into the kingdom of his Son. Now I want to ask you a question today. Is this your experience? Have you been transferred out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of the Son? This happened to me when I was 16, when I was at school. I grew up in a family where my mum took me to church and that kind of thing. So I always believed in God, but I certainly wasn't a Christian. I was still in the domain of darkness. And I thought that a Christian is someone who's a good person, like I was, and someone who was Australian, not from Iraq or something, or someone who was a member of the Anglican Church. That must make me a Christian. But I met someone who said, no, a Christian is someone who knows Jesus and trusts and follows Jesus, and you don't. You're not a Christian. She didn't use the words, but she was saying, you're in the domain of darkness. And I didn't want to be there. I wanted to be right with God because I believed in God and I wanted to do the right thing and I wanted to be right with him. And I can remember being very frustrated because how on earth can you be a Christian apart from being good? And I went and they took me to see the chaplain of the school where I was, and he said to me, you've just got to pray to God. You pray to God and you tell him that you want Jesus to come into your life and rule over you. That's all he said. And that's what I wanted. And so that night we prayed. And I know that from that night on that particular night, I was transferred out of the domain of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. What about you? Which kingdom are you in? Darkness or light? The kingdom of the evil one, cut off from God, or the kingdom of the Son, where there is forgiveness and acceptance? Now, I know that some of you are there in the kingdom of the Son, but there may be some here who aren't, because I don't know you all. And maybe you've even grown up in a Christian family and you've been brought along to this church, but you've never actually done what I did that night, so that God would transfer you from one to the other. Where are you at on this diagram? I want to say thinking about becoming a Christian is a little bit like looking at a swimming pool. Looks pretty good, doesn't it? On a hot day. You see, there are some people who don't want to have anything to do with Christianity, and they're like the people who are up in that hotel room right up the back there, and they say, I'm not going to go down there. Who wants to go down to that pool? Others go, well, that doesn't look too bad. I might go down and check it out. And I suspect that's most of, at least everybody here, because you're here. And so, but there may be some who are like the people sitting on the seats around the pool, just looking, getting a bit of a feel for it. Maybe a bit of water splashes on you sometimes. Or maybe you even go up close and kind of dip your toe into the water, get a bit of a feel for it so you can get a little bit of pleasure. Or even sit on the side and dangle your feet in or something. Maybe that's where you are when it comes to Christianity. But you look in the water and you see that there's people in there having a great time, really enjoying it. You can see how good it is. Well, I want to say to you today, I've been swimming around in the water for the last 30 years, is it? I can't remember. 17, 15, maybe 40. It's getting a long time anyway. And let me tell you, the water is beautiful. Come on in. Come on in. Jesus is real. He really did die. He really did rise. He really is at work, and he wants you to come to him, to be transferred out of the domain of darkness and into the kingdom of his Son. And today, at the end of this talk, I'm actually going to give you the opportunity to do it. I want you, if you're thinking, maybe it's time for me to do that, I want you to hear a little bit more about what it's going to mean if you do that. But I don't want you to lose that thought, because at the end I'm going to pray a prayer that includes words that will help you to turn to Jesus and to be transferred out of the darkness into the kingdom of the Son. But first, there's something else we have to see here. I said there were two massive changes, remember? Two massive changes. These people were transferred from one kingdom to another, but they are also now in the process of being transformed, of being changed by God. It's not just something that happens spiritually, as though something happens up in heaven and someone gives you a tick in the box that says, yes, you're now a Christian. When you do that, God starts working in your life and changing you bit by bit to be more and more like Jesus. And you see that as you look through the passage. You see it firstly up in verses 3 to 5, where Paul says, I thank God. I thank God for you when I think about you, because, he says, I've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. These people, Paul can see, have really been transferred, because he sees that they trust Jesus, they love one another, and they're looking forward to heaven. These are the marks of someone who is a Christian. And this is something that grows and develops more and more in your Christian life. And so Paul keeps praying for them. This is in the second part of the passage from verses 9 to 12. He puts them on his prayer list. He's heard that they've been transferred, they've become Christians. He's seen the evidence of that, and so he doesn't just say, praise God, I'm going away. He prays for them because he wants them to keep on growing in Christ. And so he prays that they might be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that they might know God better and better, not just so that they can have an answer an exam or something, but so that they can live a life pleasing to God, to walk worthily of being a Christian. That's what he says there in verse 10. And then if you do that, there's those four things that are mentioned. This is what it will look like. If you're living a life worthy of God, pleasing him in every way, then you'll be someone who's bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. You'll be growing more and more. You'll be strengthened with all power so that you can endure when it gets hard. And you'll be joyfully giving thanks to the Father because you'll realise, I've been rescued. I was in the domain of darkness, but now I've been rescued. I've been transferred and I'm being transformed all the time. So you'll be giving thanks to the Father. Here is what someone who is a Christian and a mature Christian and a growing Christian looks like. And this is what Paul prays for these people, because this is God's plan for every Christian. Not just that you become a Christian and you park somewhere and you stay there for the rest of your life, but that you become a Christian and you keep on changing and growing and learning and walking worthily of the Lord and pleasing him, transferred and being transformed. And this is also the pattern of my life. Not because I'm particularly great, because I'm not, but because God's been at work in me, working me over since I became a Christian when I was 17. And God has bit by bit knocked this rough edge off me and encouraged me in that way and taught me this thing, and I've been growing and changing and being transformed all. And the longer I go on, the more thankful I am that God is at work in my life. Do you see why this is the biggest change in your life? The biggest change in your life is not going to high school or even being born or anything else. The biggest change in your life is when you are transferred from the domain of darkness as you come to know Jesus and you're brought into the kingdom of the Son. That is the biggest change in your life. Transferred and then being transformed. So what does this mean for us today? Well, I've talked about how we've been transferred, but I want to ask those who are Christians here as well who've already been transferred, are you being transformed? I'll put it this way. Is this something that you are praying about for yourself and for others, like the Apostle Paul was? Because this is God's plan for you. Not that you just park, but that you drive forward in the Christian life. See, I want to ask, is this what you are praying and what you're trying to do? If you want to know what to pray, this is a pretty good prayer right here. Maybe you'd like to write this prayer out tonight and then pray it for yourself, that this would be true of you. And God will answer this prayer because he's revealed it to us as his plan for our life. But I don't want you to just think about yourself. We can think about others as well, because God doesn't just want to see us concerned for ourselves, but also for others. Do you long for people, other people, to be transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of the Son? Your friends at school, your family, the people you play sport with, the people that you know from music lessons or wherever, to transfer and then to be transformed. You see, there are other ways of thinking about this. It's like a graph. You can plot people on it. Some people are far away from Jesus, don't know anything about Jesus or don't care about Jesus. Some people are a bit interested. See, these people, we need to move from far away to interested. Some people are interested. They go, oh, yeah, there might be something in that, but they're not close to becoming a Christian, but they're just interested. And so we want to move them to be here, considering Jesus and becoming a Christian. And then we want to encourage them to actually turn to Jesus so that they'll transfer into this kingdom and become a brand new Christian. Maybe some of you are here. And then after you've been a new Christian, hopefully you'll be growing in Christ and eventually you'll be a mature Christian and serving Christ. Do you see how it's one step at a time, from far away to mature Christian? It doesn't happen overnight. But one step at a time, bit by bit, it happens. And if you think about a friend, you can put them on this line and you can work out, where are they? What do I need to pray for them? What's the next step for them to move them from far away towards Jesus and then towards being mature and serving Jesus? One step at a time. And I want to encourage you that this fellow Epaphras, he was just a bloke from Colossae who heard about Jesus and went back to his city and told people there what he had heard. And what happened? People were transferred and people were transformed. God uses people like Epaphras and like you and me. That's how he does it, as we help people to know Jesus. And that's what we're on about as a church. And that's what I hope that as a Christian you'll be on about, because that's what God is on about. So I said before that I was going to pray, and I'm going to do that now. And I'm going to pray on behalf of those who want to become, who want to come into the kingdom of the Son, who want to be transferred even now. The people who are, the people who are right here and want to go here. Is that you? Do you want to be transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of the Son? Well, I'm going to pray in just a moment, and I'm going to pray some words that I invite you to pray with me. I invite you also afterwards, if you do pray these words, to tell someone, one of your leaders, that you have done this. But I'm also, in the second part of the prayer, going to pray for those of us who are already Christians, that God would keep transforming us so that we'd be more and more like Jesus. So let's pray. Lord God, it may well be that some of us here want to be transferred today, to come out of the domain of darkness and into the kingdom of your Son whom you love. And I want to pray now on behalf of those people, and I invite everyone who wants to do that to pray along with me quietly in their own mind. Lord, thank you for reminding me today that Jesus is your true King. I want him to be my King. Please transfer me out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus. Thank you that he died for me so I can be forgiven and accepted in his kingdom. And help me from now on to live with Jesus as King in my life. Amen. And Lord, I also want to pray now for and with those of us who are already in your kingdom. Lord, thank you that you have transferred us, and I pray that you would continue to transform us. I pray with the Apostle Paul that we might be filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We pray this, Lord, not so that we'll just be clever, but so that we will live lives worthy of you, pleasing you in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, and giving thanks to you, Father, for your great work in our life. Lord, thank you that you are a powerful God who works in people and changes people. Please keep doing that in us, and please use us, Lord, to do that work in others too. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. If you pray today for the first time to come into the kingdom of the Son, please do tell someone you trust. Tell one of your leaders or one of your friends, or come and tell me. I'll hang around for a little while, because you've now moved to the category of new Christian. And we want to help you get going as a new Christian. So God is rejoicing if you've prayed, because he loves it when people come to him. He loves to transfer people. And that's you today if you've prayed with me. Thanks.